everyone. Welcome to the Revelation series. First thing I have to tell you, great thing of importance, enjoy this crazy hair while you got it, because I'm going to be getting a haircut soonish. That's right. Going to get a little trim up, or maybe a big trim up. No, I'm not going to do any kind of marine buzz cut. Are you kidding? I like the wild look, but it needs tamed a little bit. Speaking of tamed, Belshazzar needed tamed, and his kingdom was prophesied to be taken over by none other than the Medes and the Persians. And I promised you yesterday, and today I'm going to deliver it, to give you the definition of turbid, because we had this strange sentence in Daniel chapter 5, when Daniel is telling Belshazzar his crimes, reciting his crimes in front of everybody. It must have been terribly embarrassing for the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, "You exalt yourself." I'm in verse 23, Daniel 5. "You exalt yourself, the vessels of his house," God's house, "they bring hither before you, and you should have put them in a museum. But instead," I added that part, "you and your grandees, your consorts, and your concubines are drinking turbid wine from them. And you're also, by the way, worshiping idols. And you're not perceiving the true God." Turbid wine. They're making the concubines, the grandees, and the consorts, not in that order. That's the wrong order. First the grandees, then the consorts, then the concubines. Turbid wine. I looked this up. This is important that you know this. Turbid, not clear or transparent, not clear, because of stirred up sediment. Boy, this Belshazzar had the nerve not only to take the drinking vessels, but to stir up the sediment from underneath. And this clouded the wine, made it opaque, obscured it. It was thick, dense, like smoke or clouds. If I were to use this figuratively, I would have to say that it speaks of confusion, a muddled head, a disturbed mind. Confusion, muddled head, disturbed mind. This is the turbidity of those who, knowing God not as God, do they thank or glorify him. And you can include Belshazzar in that ignoble rank of people. There, I've taken care of that business. That's important, besides my hair. That was number one. Now, I'm going to tell you, Daniel is a guy of ends. He is the end game guy. Oh, before I do that, I got to tell you, I'm keeping an eye on Glenn Beck. I am keeping an eye on this guy. Now, he's a likable man. I've talked to you about him before, but I believe still, after all this time, that he is one of the kingpins of moving the world towards a one world religion. He's pushing it. Now, we've heard for years about ecumenicalism, taking all different faiths and putting them all together in a nice package. You see those stickers on cars, they have the symbol for Christianity, the cross, they have the symbol for Islam, whatever the heck that is, the Star of David, all these nice little symbols, and it's all for unity and oneness, and they're all going to come together. As I've said to you before, that is the beast, the wild beast of Revelation. That is exactly what's going to happen. So if you put a little sticker on your car for interfaith unity, then you are really a participant in, a champion of, a cheerleader of the wild beast that is taken over by Satan at the end. Now, Glenn Beck recently had a giant gathering in Birmingham, Alabama. He's on a good cause. I'll say this. I mean, outwardly, this is a perfect example. He's fighting for the rights of Christians in the Middle East who are being persecuted, tormented, tortured by ISIS and by the radical Islam religion. And they're really undergoing persecution, the likes of which maybe, you know, we haven't seen in a while. I mean, I know what happened in Soviet Russia, it has happened in China, and certainly happened in the first century. The Romans persecuted the Christians. But I do think this. I really think that the Christians were stubborn. And Paul writes Romans 13 for the people of his era to be subject to the superior authorities. And I think people are of a militant mindset, and people in the United States are becoming militant. Now, I should find this for you tomorrow. Let me make a note of this. ISIS issued a decree, and to Christians. And it was a decree that if they signed it, if they agreed to it, then they would not be persecuted. But if they went against the elements of this decree, then they were subject to death. These people are serious out there. Now, Glenn Beck, on his show, he's theblaze.com. That's the name of his new show. And they're very thorough researchers. He found a copy of this this thing that Christians had to sign, this conform to this or else sheet of paper. And he said, would there be any Christians in the United States who would sign this? And I looked at it, and I could sign every one of them, those things, because it had nothing to do with the elements of my faith, as far as I can recall. I'm going to find this for you tomorrow. Find Glenn Beck's, no, find ISIS political statement, Christian political statement. I could have signed the darn thing. They wouldn't bother me because I'm not going to make waves. But this is coming to be a political movement. And Glenn Beck is single-handedly, I see no one else doing this, moving Christianity toward a unity. Now, when you have a common enemy, then you unify. That's how it works. We saw that with Pilate and Herod became great friends because they had a common enemy, Jesus Christ. So the common enemy here would be persecution of Christians in the Middle East. Who wants to see this? Nobody. So we have to speak out with one voice. And so Glenn is always bragging about bringing together people of different faiths. And he's marveling that there are imams and rabbis and Catholic priests and pastors from all faiths. Put your doctrinal differences aside, he says. And yet, what are we all about? We're about teaching. That's another word for doctrine. I prefer the word teaching. We gather around a teaching, don't we? The teaching of the death and resurrection of Christ for our sins. But to Glenn Beck, this is expendable when there's a greater cause. And it's a good cause. I'm not saying it's not a good cause. It is. So I'm keeping an eye on this, and I'm going to run this past you tomorrow if I can find it. I just read it a few days ago. I'm assuming I'm going to find it. And as I can remember, I would have signed, have no problem signing every single one of those points, because we're not political. We wouldn't have bothered the Roman Empire. We wouldn't have bothered Hitler's empire. Say Hitler is Lord. Yeah, Hitler's Lord. Sure. How many times do you want me to sign it or say it? I'll say it. Hitler's Lord. Lord is sanctioner. It's nice to know this information. Hitler's God. Say it. Yeah, Hitler's God. Yeah. I would very silently put, hey, God. Yeah, Hitler's God. Hitler's God. He's not the God. If they made me say Hitler is the God, then I'd have a problem, and they'd probably kill me, send me to a concentration camp. But they're not going to word it that way. Say that Hitler is the God. They're not going to say that. Say Hitler is God. Yeah, Hitler is God. 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 There are many termed gods in the world, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8:6. Now, Daniel is an end times guy. Daniel's all about the end, the coincidence of these four religions at the end. Before I go into this, the purpose of Daniel. Daniel is a prophet for the unveiling. He is a pre-prophet. I call John the latter prophet of the unveiling, but it all has to do with the time of the end. Daniel's time is the compressed 42 months when this stuff goes down big time. But, yes, we're still going to go into details of these four beasts, and I won't let you forget the greater theme is that we're watching the religions being eliminated from the face of the earth. So there are four beasts. There's the lioness, the she-bear, the leopardess, and the monstrous. That's the order. They go from east to west, not first to last. Going to give you details on that, because the King James says, and the first beast was a lioness, and the next is the second beast. Concordance says the easternmost beast was a lioness. The lioness, I'll give you this ahead of time, corresponds with the Buddhist religion, the she-bear with Hinduism, the leopardess with Islam because of its speed. Where do you see this? Where do you see the wings? And the monstrous, the most despicable, frightening, deplorable, horrible beast of all is Christianity. And these go from west to east. Farthest east is Buddhism is practiced in the Far East, like Japan and China. Then you have Hinduism, and that would be India. So we're moving toward the west. Then you have Islam, and of course that's the Middle East. And then the Western nations, Europe and the United States, is Christianity. This fits perfectly. And Daniel is the man of the end times. Here's a list, and you can see that almost all of Daniel's visions seem to head up in the era of the end, so that everything synchronizes from Daniel's visions, and he had lots of them. The guy was a vision meister. He was vision central, and they all synchronize at the end. I'm going to give you these quotes. That's probably all I'll have time for today, and then we'll elaborate on this tomorrow along with that list of what ISIS would want you to sign to save your own life. Could you do it without going against your conscience? I think many of you probably could. There may have been a ringer in there, but I don't think so. Daniel 2:42, at the end, the kingdom shall be mighty. That's Daniel talking. Daniel 7:26, to destroy till the terminus. Daniel 8:17, for the era of the end is the vision. The vision Daniel's given is chapter 8. It's for the era of the end. That's when it's for. It doesn't apply before the era of the end. Daniel 9:26, its end is by an overthrow. Daniel 11:40 uses again the phrase, in the era of the end. Daniel 12:4, seal the scroll till the era of the end. You're catching the common theme here. Verse 9 of chapter 12, sealed are the words till the era of the end. That was 12:9. 12:12, you shall rest and stand up for your lot at the end of the days. There may be many beginnings, folks, but there is one end of this eon. It's a contracted period. Both Daniel and John are its spokespeople. Right now, we're focusing on Daniel. I'm going to show you in the next couple weeks how this ties in with John, and we are going to analyze soon the individual beasts that comprise the wild beast of the end of this era.